Let's read together 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 through 21. In this last section of 1 Timothy 6, we have an exhortation to Christians who are rich as to what to do and what not to do with their money. We also have the closing to this great letter and book of Scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning at verse 17. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. O Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust, avoiding the profane and idle babblings and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. By professing it, some have strayed concerning the faith. Grace be with you. Amen. Well, let's begin with some background notes. Question: what is the difference between the people mentioned in verse 9 and the people mentioned here in verse 17? Verse 9, once again, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. And verse 17, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. So what's the difference between these two groups of people? The answer is obvious. The people in verse 9 want to get rich, and the people in verse 17 are rich. Now, when we studied verse 9, we saw that it was wrong to try to get rich. It's not wrong to be rich, but it's wrong to desire to be rich. If you want to be rich, you will suffer the consequences that we see here in verse 9. But now let's suppose you are rich. You didn't try to get rich. You're not hung up with money, and you're not a materialist. You just happen to be rich. Maybe you were born into a wealthy family. Maybe you inherited some land that has become very valuable. Maybe God has blessed your business when you weren't even trying to get rich. You know, just this past weekend, I heard about a former student of mine that has become quite wealthy. He wasn't trying to get rich. He just happened to be at the right place at the right time. Now, what does God's word have to say to Christians who have become rich without even trying to get rich? Verses 17 through 19 here in 1 Timothy 6, these verses are specifically addressed to these people. Now, I realize that maybe no one here today is in that category, but you never know when God may test you in this area. You know, I kind of wish God would test me in this area, but but he's, at this point, he hasn't chosen to do so. Well, so much for our background. Let's move now to our doctrinal points from this last section of 1 Timothy 6. Doctrinal point number one, riches are uncertain as to their future existence. Riches are uncertain as to their future existence. Verse 17, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. We are not to trust in uncertain riches. Riches are uncertain. You may be rich today, but not tomorrow, for any number of reasons. Business failure, theft, medical expenses, lawsuit against you, bad investment, etc., etc. Money really does have wings. Proverbs 23, verse 5. Will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle toward heaven. So riches do have wings. Because of the uncertainty of riches, don't do two things. Number one, don't trust them. Verse 17 again, don't trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. That is, don't put your security in treasures on this earth. Trust in the living God, not just for salvation, but for your security as well. He'll take care of you. Riches may fail, but the living God will never fail you. And don't, number two, don't be conceited. See there in verse 17, Command those who are rich in this present age not to be conceited or haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches. This verse is rarely obeyed by well-off Christians. Why is it that Christians with money tend to always look down on Christians who don't have money? This is wrong. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 says, "And what do you have that you did not receive? Now, if you did receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it?" This verse can be applied to everything we have, including money. So if you're a rich Christian, or God happens to make you rich in the future, watch out for these two pitfalls: putting your security in money and being conceited. Remember, riches are uncertain as to their future existence. Doctrinal point number two: riches are unnecessary for present enjoyment. Riches are unnecessary for present enjoyment. The end of verse 17. "Don't trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy." Now, at first glance, at the last part of verse 17 here, it seems to be saying that rich Christians can take their money and practice self-indulgence because God gave them the money so that they could enjoy the good life. No, it's not saying that. It's saying just the opposite. It's saying the living God gives all of us richly all things to enjoy, not just those who are rich. Notice what the verse does not say. It does not say, "Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives them all things richly to enjoy." No, gives us richly all things to enjoy. In other words, riches are unnecessary for present enjoyment. Illustration. You know, when I look back at our family times, as a boy and as a father, and even now as a grandfather, the best family times did not require a lot of money. I mean, we used to go on family vacations with a tent. We had great family times without money. God gives all of us, not just rich Christians, He gives all of us richly all things to enjoy. The idea that you must have money to enjoy the so-called good life is a myth. Riches are unnecessary for present enjoyment. And doctrinal point number three: riches are unlimited in their potential use. Riches are unlimited in their potential use. Verse 18, "Let them do good," that is, rich Christians, "let them do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share." Ah, now we see why God makes some Christians rich. They are to use their money for the glory of God. They are to get involved in good works and support good works. They are to be ready to share and willing to give. You know, there are many wealthy Christians who are not ready to give. Listen, I would not want to be in their shoes at the judgment seat of Christ. They are in for a surprise as to their reward in heaven. Their token contributions are not going to carry much weight at the judgment seat of Christ. They have salvation, yes, but as to reward in heaven, not much. You know, maybe we should thank the Lord that we're not rich. I mean, do you really want to hear the Lord say to you, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? Well, if you're a rich Christian, that may depend on how empty your bank account is when you die. Yes, there is the biblical principle of saving, but not hoarding. The word "share" at the end of verse 18 is the word koinonia. It means more than just sharing your money. It means getting involved. Sometimes just writing a check out for a need is easy. The Lord wants us to give of ourselves, not just of our money. Verse 19 says that if Christians with money give to the Lord's work, they will store up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, and they will lay hold on eternal life. So you can take it with you. Not your money, of course, but the results of the proper use of your money. The Bible-teaching churches and ministries that we support with money result in souls saved and souls built up in the faith. This is what our Lord meant in Luke 16, verse 9, when He said, "And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when it fails, they may receive you into an everlasting home. You understand that verse, what the Lord is saying here? That is, use your unrighteous mammon, that's money, for the salvation of souls and edification of believers, so that when it fails, and it will fail because money is only for this present age, they will receive you into an everlasting home. That is, the souls who were saved and the believers who were helped as a result of the proper use of your money will welcome you into heaven when you arrive at the pearly gates. What a blessing. This is what it means to lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, Matthew 6. And this is what it means here in verse 19, to lay hold of eternal life. Now, in the context, this exhortation is addressed to rich Christians, but it applies to all of us, especially in light of the fact that most of us are wealthy, according to first century standards when this was written. So we will be held accountable for how we use our money. The good news is that riches are unlimited in their potential use. Now, what about practical application from this last section of 1 Timothy? Are you guarding the gospel? Are you guarding the gospel? Our practical application comes from the conclusion to this epistle in verses 20 and 21. O Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust, avoiding the profane and idle babblings and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. By professing it, some have strayed concerning the faith. Grace be with you. Amen. Timothy was to guard the content of the faith that had been entrusted to him. Like a soldier guarding a national treasure, he was to guard the gospel. The gospel was being attacked in the first century. Already the person and work of Christ were being attacked. The bodily resurrection of Christ was being attacked. The profane and idle babblings and supposed superior knowledge of Gnostic teaching was already raising its ugly head. Some believers were being taken in and straying from the faith, as we see here in verse 21. You know, the same is true today. The gospel is under attack. The doctrine of hell is questioned. The full deity and full humanity of Christ is not preached. Christ says the only way of salvation is under attack. The Christian worldview is watered down. The battle for the Bible continues to be fought. The Lord asks us to do what Timothy was commanded to do. Guard the faith. Let me ask you, are you guarding the gospel?